And I'm there at the bottom of page 15. There are 89 chapters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the subject of giving is discussed 123 times in these four books. In another book, Black Wrote, we must keep in mind that the Bible talks more about money than it does about faith, repentance, confession, baptism, church organization, and qualifications of elders and deacons, all come back. That's an interesting thing to come to realize. Money is very important in God's mind. And we can't take it lightly because of that. And I'm going to get to another part that we need to look at as well. How many of you have books? I need to call them if you need to read. So we'll do that. About one of every six verses in the New Testament deals with money. And approximately half of Jesus' parables discuss the subject. If we were simply to count up all of the verses that discuss a certain topic and rank them according to how many times they are mentioned, giving and stewardship will be close to the top of such a list. I would like somebody to get for me, if you will, I want to try to get some of these Bible lists. Somebody get for me Luke 12, 13 to 21. Then somebody please get Matthew 25. Now you don't have to read all these verses. We'll look at them, I'm going to be aware. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. And let's see, we're going to get somebody to get Mark chapter 12 and verses 41 through 44. I'm going to stop there for now. The first one is Luke 12. Luke 12. Let's look at this fellow here. Chapter 12 and starting with verse 13 and going on to read down to verse 21. Who has that?
What shall I do? Because I have no room where greater, build greater, and then will I bestow all of my feet and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much good goods laid up for many years. Take thy food, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou feet, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then he shall understand thee, which thou hast provided. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich to his God.
Thank you so much. It's very important that people get this. The parable that Jesus talks about, this gentleman who is mostly concentrating on everything that he has, and instead of him sharing it with others that's less fortunate, he decides he wants to tear down his own bond and build bigger ones. Build a bond so that he has the opportunity to produce more goods. So he can sit back and he says, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, that's not good because he's still thinking about himself. He's not thinking about what the blessing of God, and he certainly isn't thinking about sharing. We shouldn't have so much that we're not willing to help those that are less fortunate than we are. I'm here to tell you, it truly works when you can do and give. If you have a little extra to give, there's nothing wrong with that. To help somebody else out. But look, how much more can you have? Before, you know, I just like the idea. So this is the one at the time. Look at verse 20. But God said to him, you're a fool. Now, none of us call anybody a fool, but there are some folks out of here that really act the part. This guy was that way. And we need to make sure that we don't have that type of attitude. Any comments? Because we can go right here. What would that say to me?
Matthew 25:14-24.
I was going to say,
there's no sense
to me
for the fact
that
what is there that you grow that you can put yourself on?
That's absolutely right. You know? Yes.
Ray, I think, you know, one of the things we have to understand is in so many of the texts that talk about finances and giving, and this is a perfect example, if you go and continue reading on the next part that Luke talks about, this is really an issue of trust. You know, am I going to trust in myself, in my own security for the future and so forth, or am I going to learn to trust in God? That's really what it's all about.
Oh, yeah.
We worry about whether we're going to have enough to pay the bills and so forth and so forth. Which of us, by worrying, can add a single hour to our life? It's really a matter of, when it comes to all aspects of our life, especially in our giving, and so we're to learn to trust in God for what we need rather than relying on ourselves.
Yeah.
And then feeling like we've got to provide everything for ourselves. It's not that we don't have to do what we have to do to provide for ourselves, but we have to do that with the right attitude that it's in keeping with what God wants us to. Notice that he says at the very end of this parable that those who, as he says here, anyone who stores up things for himself, okay, but is not rich towards God. So it shouldn't be an either or proposition. We can have the riches and so forth, but we've got to be rich towards God in the process. And that's where the problem is. If we're not trusting God, we're not rich toward Him.
Absolutely. We must. In many cases, we have to need to change our attitude concerning things like this. Because it's so important that we recognize, we realize the power of God and what He can do for us. And it needs everything. Everything. Matthew 25. I'm going to just get Matthew 25 and all that scripture. 14. Parable of the talents on the sea. Money and read salad. Yes.
And then it will be like a man going on a journey who called a servant and entrusted his master. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went on at once and put his money to work, and again 5 bags more, and gave 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gave 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and said of the times with them, the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and picked your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of, so he took the bag of gold from him, and gave it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will give, will be given more, and they will have abundance. Whatever does not have, even that they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, there will, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you so much for reading. It is so important that people recognize the fact that these parables were done by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who looks at things perhaps a little differently than we do. We need to be very, very careful about what God blesses us with monetarily. Because we can't afford, we cannot afford to have a the attitude of the guy that had the 2 talents. And what happened? God made it so that he didn't have that. These other men, they made the money work for him. Got more than what they had, than what they earned. You know, even in giving, if you put God first, He'll see that you have everything that you need. And one of the things, I looked at on this book, on the cover, the truth about giving, but I like that under that, God's there to give spiritually. And he is not a bad man. But he is telling us that if you do what you need to do, I'm gonna make sure that you'll have everything you need. And more. And the problem that some of us have to learn is that, and I mentioned this time and time again before, in the first part of that, None of this money that God blesses with belongs to us. It's all his. It's his anyway. But we need to make sure we use it correctly. We need to make sure that we do what we need to do to please the Lord, not what we want. Because it's so important that we do what the Lord wants us to do when it comes to giving. And I will tell you, I admit, years ago, giving was somewhat of a struggle. I had to learn how to be able to give like I should. Because I don't have that problem now. But sometimes there's nothing wrong with learning how to give. God gives you the opportunity to do that. And we need to make sure we do what the Lord expects of us and what he wants. All right. And now we need to get to all of these. Let me see. Yeah. Let us go down to Brother Russ talk on James. But we want you to read James 2, verses 1 through 13. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Would you like to read that?
Yeah, I gotta find it.
Oh, James chapter 2, 1 through 13.
My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Support a man comes into your meeting. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to a man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there, or you sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom? He promised those who love him, but you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who says, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that is proven. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the reading. This is a very important, and James deals with this, Russ dealt with this when he was teaching James, how important it is for us not to show favoritism for those who are less fortunate than we are. You can have all the fine suits and apparel that you want. But if you don't know how to treat your brothers and sisters in Christ, you have a problem. She just read, and you break part of the law, you break all of it. You can't do part of anything, and it doesn't. You're going to have to deal with God's going to deal with you. And we need to not show favoritism for those that are less fortunate than some of us are. I am so glad that I get it. And I think all of us should get it. It's so important for us to live our lives according to the way that James is saying. We don't want to show any partiality. We don't want to act as though we are better than somebody else. We want to live our lives according to the way God would be pleased with us all. Any comments? Yes, bro.
Ray, I see this going both ways. I see people that are in humble circumstances having envy of wealthy people and treating them differently. And I've seen it come both ways. But I've been around some people with a whole lot of money, and this is not a problem. I'm free with this because I know who I am with my Father in heaven. And so when I'm talking to these people, multi-millionaires or whatever, and I'm standing in the ditch talking to them, you know, working in the yard or whatever, I don't feel any less than them. You know, and it's a power that's been given me from God. It might be a problem for them, or it might not. Most of them are nice. I've seen some of them, you know, think of them or something. But for me, I know who I am. To have that security for God is such a blessing.
Yeah.
But that does go both ways. And that is a big division that's been going on against the rich and the poor. It's been going on forever. But we got to be sure we do it both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. That means so much to us. In the eyes of God, yeah.
And I love it.
That's right. Yes.
You know, you look at the things that the world agrees with, what some of the rich are doing. And this is the world's way of looking at wealth. They set their ways above the everyday people. And I think that's when it comes into play, that we as Christians are just to be separate from the world. We are to be different. You know, we don't make no difference between the rich and the poor. You find the rich just as guilty of doing wrong as you find a poor man. But yet the world, some of the rich get away with things.
Yeah.
If we would be doing the same thing, we would be tried and convicted and put in jail on that. But because money talks to the world, and we need to get away from that. You know, like you said before, money belongs, what monies we have already belongs to God.
Yeah.
You know, and God loves a rich man that's faithful just as much as he loves a poor man that's faithful. So we should, like I said, make no difference. You know, don't lift up a rich man or agree with his way that you never would with a poor person.
Right.
We all need that.
Yeah. I've never seen a U-Haul behind church. I don't care how much money you get. When, like I said, it belongs to God, isn't it? I've never, some of these folks, multi-millionaires, dead and gone, all that money stayed back there.
And what happens? The people that I left behind find them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it shows God's justice too. He came in the world with nothing and he calls us out of it.
Yeah. And you're not going to have anything. You're not going to have anything. I feel the only thing I need is the Lord in me. He's going to be my provider. Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Chuck, for your comment. I better move on, because I got to finish this. So, Jerry, and do his lesson. I'm going to skip over, and I'm going over to, I don't know, we look it from the top. Top of page 17. Yet they can read more scriptures about money and stewardship than faith. We must conclude from this fact that without a proper understanding of an attitude toward giving, it is also impossible to please God. First Peter 3:21 states, there is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the renewal of the flesh, of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yet, the New Testament has more to say about money and stewardship than it does about baptism. From this, we must conclude that any person who lacks a proper attitude about giving is lacking a vital component to his soul salvation. And I want to stop there because it's so important that people understand you can lose your soul if you don't get it after Jesus. There's no need to hold on to that money. Holding on with it. Holding on, holding on. Give, and particularly, I can talk to Christian, man. I don't think there's any, I'm going to say, monetary rich folk sitting here. But we are all rich in that, in the sight of God. We don't have to have a whole lot of money. I think, I think he likes who we are. As long as we treat one another with respect and treat one another with kindness and show the love that we need to show. One for the other. Yeah.
Ray, don't you think that our giving really reflects our faith that we have in God?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, what trust that God will take care of me? Here, you know, by how much I give. Do I give out of my extra, or do I give out of my need?
Out of what?
Out of your need.
Because,
well, maybe I should even say out of our wants. Because a lot of times we want money back to take care of our wants.
Yeah.
Instead of our needs.
That's a big problem for many of us. We are not willing to let God guide us in our thinking about the way we give. Mm-hmm. We can't afford to do that. That's why I like the front of this book when he said God's there to give spiritual. For lack of a better term, certainly he's not a betting God. But he is trying us to see if we'll try him and see if we'll do what he asks us to do. I have no problem. And I'm going to say this again and again. It's not mine anymore. Some of us just hold on. Yes.
James also says to give purposeful, to give from your heart.
Yeah.
And you said to make sure that you always put what you put in your heart, that you say it first, and you give it all that you put in your heart to him. And you give this church, the similar. Thank you. you make sure that I'm not there with it next time you get it, and don't just call it a few days later.
Very good, very good. Thank you. All right. I am going to go down and read a little bit more because I think it's important. The fact that this is a something, third paragraph on page 17, after Mark 12:41-44. The fact that the New Testament had more to say about money than it had to say about the Lord's Supper implies that giving is at least as important as the Lord's Supper. Every part of the Lord's service, everything from singing, scripture reading, everything that we do, the preaching, everything, the Lord's Supper and giving. It was very important to the Lord that we do this. We need to make sure that we please the Lord and not ourselves. Sometimes, things come in our lives that we are doing, purchase something that we shouldn't have purchased. But we can't take it out on the Lord. That was a decision we made. And we're going to have to pay for that some way. But you shouldn't cut them short because of decisions you made to purchase something perhaps you didn't even need. I have bought things plenty of times and then realized I really didn't need it. I really didn't need it. But you know what? One of the biggest problems most of us have is finance. Finance is a big problem in this country. More marriages break up over that than anything you can think of. A lot of people have no understanding about money. And I think this is one of the biggest problems we have in this country. People that can't manage their money or manage the Lord's money in the way they should. Comments? Not a quiet. That's all right. I am thankful for his lesson. And the Lord's Supper is so important, but so is giving. It is impossible for an honest-hearted truth seeker to read the Bible and come away with the idea that giving and stewardship are not important issues to God. And I want to say this too. You can't really separate the two, the giving and stewardship, because it's how you manage money which will help, for lack of a better term, define who you are. If you don't let that money control you, you don't allow yourself to get caught up in the things of this world. And many of us, they've got to have that bigger car. They've got to have that bigger house. Because they make that money. I have no problem with people having material things. But not at the expense, and I'm talking about us now, not at the expense of our Lord and Savior and our Almighty God. No, I cannot see that. Because we abandon it. I am so thankful that let me get this book. This book is very enlightening. Very enlightening. So I'm just I'm just typifying. I'm almost at the point where Brother Jerry, yes, is what I said, yes.
You bring up stewardship. The stewardship, good stewardship is being responsible, just like these children were with God's money. And to be responsible with money, you have to have discipline. And to have discipline, you have to say no to yourself.
Yes.
And that's what we struggle with, saying no. But that's bothering with being a good steward. Because you have to deny yourself.
Yes.
And be disciplined. And that does affect you. This is my struggle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, giving should not be, a lot of bad times, shouldn't be a struggle.
No, just
no, 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 no. Yeah. I'm about to say it should be a joy. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah.
Well, yeah, go back and I'll look at Moses when they were getting ready to build the tabernacle, and they asked the people to give in order to build that tabernacle. It got to the point where they actually had to tell the people it's enough.
Yeah.
You know, we have given so much that we have more than what we need. Wouldn't it be a joy if every congregation would say that we have enough?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They gave with joy. They gave with gladness. And I think sometimes we all let that part.
Yeah.
The joy and the gladness and happy to give.
Yeah. I'm just thankful that God opened my eyes so that I could see what I was not seeing at first. And it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen. But I'm glad that things have materialized to this point where I can truly enjoy giving, and that the Lord is going to bless me, because we need to stop worrying about it. I mean, and worrying, literally, worrying about bills. We made them. Guess what? That's me. You know, that, now the question, that's what you're, that's the attitude you have. But not at the expense of the Lord. Not at his expense. Everything we do should be according to what the Lord expects of us. And we need to make sure that we don't cut our blessing short. You can't do that, you know. You know? You're just saying, don't let your right hand know your left hand, you want to fight this. Well, I'm going to tell you like this. I ain't never understand that. That philosophy. Because I got, thank God, I got two of them. And both of them, I need to know what to do.
You
yeah. know. And I'm not going to take from the Lord and keep his money. And I'm going to make that clear. I'm not going to keep his money. Because he blessed me to have it. Oh yeah, I'm on fixed income, and I like a lot of people in here, drawing Social Security. But it's still his money. The government gives it to me in the month. So don't worry, I'm alive. Pretty much all my. But we everything I have comes from him. Everything. And the same with you. Don't cut yourself short, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
See, Scripture had that poem up there one time, and I will never forget that. And he said, give abundantly and watch what God will bless
you. Oh, yeah.
You know, and we can expect, you know, if you look back on your line, at least with Mike and me, yeah, we had rough times, but God has always gotten us through, always had enough to take care of our needs. Mine and not did that once, but it was always our needs were taken care of.
Yeah. You hadn't lost anything.
Exactly.
And anything more like the game more than your other losing. The Lord wants you to try Him. Try Him. And see the blessings that will come your way. He is not going to see anybody in your bed and bread. I think all of us are moving pretty fast. It's a good thing. I'm finished this lesson.
Thank you.
I thank y'all for your participation in the class. And my brother Jerry will have it next week. And I think I got lesson 5, I believe it is. Lesson 5 and 9, I believe it is. Yeah. So you'll next week.
Thank you,
right? Thank you. Hey, before y'all leave, let's have a short prayer. Because I didn't get anybody to open up with a prayer. So let's have a prayer before we go. Reverend Father, we come to you, thank you for this day, life, and strength. And thank you so much for all the blessings you bestow upon us. Forgive us, Lord, our many sins, and thank you for everyone that's here. Continue to bless us abundantly in all that we do. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace, but most of all for your Son, Jesus, who showed us the way. This is my prayer. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.